Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
If God be for you, who can be against you? Scripture promises over and over and over of the presence of God, where He says, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, because I'm with you. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to give you everything you need in this circumstance. So quit worrying. Quit fearing. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91. Would you do that? Psalm 91. I begin with this passage because there's some specific things in here that many of us fear. We're in the middle of a series right now on facing common temptation and escaping the snare of common temptation. We've looked at pride and we've looked at anger. We've looked at unbelief. Today, and last week and today, we're looking at the sin of worry and fear and how to escape. How to escape that snare. But I want you to notice what he says in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. You're my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Now, I tell you, you know, this. We need to be reminded, it's a war. It's a war. Every day is a war. It's a battle. It's a battle for your soul. It's a battle for your victory. It's a battle for your life. It's a battle for the abundant life that God wants to give to you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you an abundant life. Is that right? And you know, there's this snare, this trap of the enemy, wherever we turn. And the Scripture says, listen, if you'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty, if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, if you will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust, if you will direct your thoughts and your life to Him and to Him alone, the Scripture says, listen, He will deliver you from the snare of the trapper. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from that pride, from that arrogance, from that anger. He'll deliver you from this fear and worry that we're looking at. And you know, he goes on, he says, listen, He'll do that. He'll deliver you from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with His pinions. Under His wings you'll seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilent that stalks in darkness. You won't be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You're going to only look on with your eyes. You'll see the recompense of the wicked, because you've made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Folks, there's the snare of the trapper. And what we find is that when we walk in the fear and the worry of this world, when we are consumed with worry about what people think or about what's going to happen to us, when we fear the things that hardly ever happen to us, we become blinded, we become crippled, folks, in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life. It cripples us. And we see that on a daily basis in people's lives. You see it in your life. You know, we saw last week, as we think about escaping the snare of the trapper of fear and worry, we do that by understanding the basis of all fear, and that is the presumption and the threat of loss. We saw last week the way that you combat that is that you presume, because you're living under the new rule of God, that He's not a God of loss. He's a God of gain. He's a God of gain. And that even the things that we think we've lost in this world, God comes around and says, wait a minute, I want to show you how I want to put gain in your life today as a result of those things that have been removed from your life. I want to show you how I come to really give you abundance today. We saw last week where Apostle Paul said this, said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we said, listen, if dying is gain, then my word, what else is gain in this life? Everything, if you're in Christ. What a great promise. So we understand the basis for all fear. It's the presumption of threat and loss. And then we're aware of the consequences of fear and worry. When you walk in worry, you'll miss out on God's victory. You'll miss out on it, folks. Listen, there's so many times that God has asked you to do something that you've not done because you feared what the other person might say. And you lose out on the victories of life, the victories of restored relationships, the victories of seeing the kingdom of God advanced because you're laying aside your fear and you're exercising your gifts from the Holy Spirit for the living God. The Scripture also says that if you walk in fear and worry, you forget God and His work. And that forgetfulness, it causes the fear and worry to grow. Isaiah 51:12 says, I am He who comforts you. Who are you that you're afraid of man who dies? And of the son of man who's made like grass? That you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? You know, it's another way of saying, well, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of that? You're afraid of that? You're worried about that? Where is the fury of the oppressor? If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you. Scripture promises over and over and over of the presence of God where He says, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't walk in trembling. Don't do that because I'm with you. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to give you everything you need in this circumstance. So quit worrying. Quit fearing. You forget God and His work. How do you forget God and His work? Because, folks, if you're thinking about what you're worrying about, are you thinking about God? Absolutely not. If you're not thinking about God, you're not seeking Him first. And if you're not seeking Him first, you lose out on the blessings that He wants to give you when you seek Him first. So we get our eyes off the situation, we put them on Jesus. Fear can cause the denial of Christ. Fear often produces rebellion. In Deuteronomy 1:26 through 28, Moses was reminding the children of Israel, you weren't willing to go up into the promised land, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and you said, the Lord hates us. He's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites so they'll destroy us. Is that faith right there? No, that's not faith, is it? That's unbelief. You know, God's taken us out of this place, and now we look forward and we see all these giants in the land, and we see all these things and all these problems and all these struggles, and we say, oh, God's sending us to destroy us. And He's not coming to send you to destroy us. He's coming to destroy the enemy in your life so you might enjoy the promises of God. Where can we go up? Our brethren, they've made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the son of Anakin there. Fear and worry prevents praise and worship. Now, I just want to say this. You've got these principles here from Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Go on and turn there with me, just 1 Samuel chapter 17. You got a story, a very familiar story, a story that many of us love to read, enjoyed since youth, of David and Goliath. And what you find in this passage of Scripture is three kinds of people, okay? Three kinds of people. First of all, you're going to find the enemy, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17, first person is the enemy. And not really the person, we're looking at the enemy as the devil, you know, as Satan, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I want you to notice what it says about this Goliath, okay? This man that is causing havoc and fear. Now, the Philistines are gathered at this valley. Okay, they're on one side, and the Israelites on the other, and they've come to battle. Verse 4, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, a cubit is 18 inches, okay? So, 6 cubits is roughly 9 feet, okay? And now, a span, what they're talking about in the span is the span of a hand, okay? Now, the span of my hand is about 7 inches, okay? And I'm just 5'9". Well, I was 5'9", and I'm 5'8", maybe 5'7", on a good day, okay? And so my hand's just 7 inches. Now, this guy is 9 feet, okay? So you're looking at a good 10 to 12 inches. So you're looking at adding another foot to it, okay? You're looking at a 10-foot giant. I mean, this guy's so big, he is so large, he is so intimidating that I'm going to tell you, these folks are fearing him. I mean, he's got a scale armor that weighs 5,000 shekels. That's about 150 pounds. He has bronze shin guards on him. He has a bronze javelin. He has a spear in his hand, and the head weighs 20 pounds alone. Okay? 20 pounds. I mean, this guy is a champion, and he is so confident of himself, and he is such a vile person that he comes out and he says to them, am I not a Philistine in verse 8, you servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel to this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Here is a man, my friends, who is intimidating. He's a massive foe. You don't want to mess with him. I mean, he has for years won the battle. He's their champion. He's their guy. And I want to tell you, do you want to face someone like that? And I say, not me. Absolutely not. But I want to tell you, there are circumstances in your life today, or maybe next year, or maybe last year, the circumstances are like Goliath to you. They're big, they're massive, and they're intimidating. And you know, you can respond like the other two people in the story. You can respond as an unbeliever, or you can respond as the believer that you are. You can respond as the unbeliever. How would the unbeliever in this moment, how would he respond? I want you to notice verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Dismayed, the word means to be prostrate, broken down. Greatly afraid means vehemently full of dread. And I want to suggest something to you folks. That in all the army of Israel, there was one man that should have rose to the challenge. And that was the king. King Saul, a king warrior. And I tell you, you and I may not be kings in the literal sense, but the Scripture speaks of every one of us in the kingdom of God as becoming kings and queens. And I tell you, this kind of king in the Scripture is always a king who rules and reigns. Folks, you know, in a spiritual sense, you will rule over your spirit. You will have self-control. But you'll be a warrior king, and you'll stand in the gap for your family. You'll stand in the gap for your spouse. You'll stand in the gap for your children. You'll stand in the gap for those who are lost and hurting and struggling. No matter what Goliath you face out there, no matter what's happened in your life, you will remain strong. But Saul says, I'll take a pass on this one. I'll take a pass on this one. And you know what, folks, that day, do you know what Saul does? Saul misses out on the victory. He's forgotten God and His work. He's denying the power of God in his life. It's producing rebellion because he's not being the king he needs to be. It's preventing praise and worship to his God because he's looking at the situation. And folks, it's spread to the rest of the people around them. They're all afraid. If our king's afraid, it must be a reason to be afraid. I mean, folks, it's just like a little child. If you're afraid in the household, when you hear that there's maybe a tornado coming, they're going to see that and that's going to spread to your family. It's just going to do it. But if you remain calm, if you remain collective, if you remain in such a spirit that says, it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. Now we're going to get over here. We're going to get underneath the bed for a little bit. Or we're going to go into this room. But we know what? We're going to be okay. But if we are frantic, if we are afraid and it shows, what do you think your children are going to do? Your children are going to, they're just going to spread to the very fiber of their being. The very fiber of their being. This king missed out. See, in Psalm 21, David learned that in the strength of God, the king will be glad. In his salvation, he'll greatly rejoice. But Saul missed it that day. He missed it because of his unbelief. Even with the word that God had spoken, do not worry about these things. When he speaks in Deuteronomy 31:8, I'm the one who goes ahead of you. I'll be with you. I'll not fail you or forsake you. Don't fear or be dismayed. Joshua 1:9, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Scripture says that, you know, the wicked do, they flee when no one is pursuing. But the righteous are bold as lions. Courage and faith is how we face the fear, folks. Courage and faith, faith and courage. And that's the third kind of person we want to look at, just as we, in the remaining few minutes of this message, the Scripture speaks of David the believer. Now, was David perfect? No. David would go on to commit adultery and murder. The Scripture says he had a heart after God. And this shepherd boy comes on the scene where this Philistine is taunting. The Scripture says that this man is coming out for 40 days saying the same thing, defying them. And when David comes to the battlefield to visit his brothers, to bring care packages, what they brought, a little cake, a little cheese for the commanders and for his brothers. He comes and he hears this guy, he hears him defying the ranks of Israel. And you know what? He's in a camp that is absolutely terrified right now. And marches in this shepherd boy. and he hears it. He hears the divine voice. And you know, the Scripture speaks in Hebrews chapter 11 of David when it says, by faith, he put foreign armies to flight. They fled from his presence. And it was by faith that he walks into this and sees Goliath, hears the same screams, hears the same challenges, hears the same intimidation, sees the same victorious bully out there who's the champion, and he says, what in the world are we doing allowing this uncircumcised Philistine to do what he's doing, to top the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? And you know, I believe that the very first things when we put on courage and we put on faith and we put on boldness is that, folks, that we must always be concerned for God's reputation and glory. Always. Now, David had heard something. When he came into camp, Saul had spread the word. Listen, is there a warrior out there who can go take this guy? Because if there is, if he can take this guy, I'm going to give him riches and I'm going to give him one of my daughters. In other words, you get to come be a family of the royal family. And David comes in and that perked him up. You mean there's some benefits to this? You mean there's some benefits to faith and courage? You mean there's some benefits to march right out there and take the head of this Philistine off? Yeah, there's benefits. And I want to tell you, folks, there's benefits for your faith. Amen. There'll be benefits for your faith. And you know, I'll tell you nine of them just right off the top of my head or the bottom of my heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience. Did you hear that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Benefits of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Almighty God. But folks, when I walk in worry and I walk in fear, I'm not thinking of those things. I'm not thinking of God. I'm not thinking of God's reputation. And all of a sudden, I'm reminded, hey, there's benefits to this faith. There's benefits to this courage. You know what the benefits of faith are? I mean, strong marriage, strong family, right? Those are benefits of faith. Benefits of walking after God. I want to tell you also, you walk after the principles of God in your finances and you'll walk in prosperity. You'll walk in the provision of God. God will provide everything you need. Listen, it's in there. It's in the Scripture. You walk by it. There's benefits to it. And David was reminded by it and actually was motivated by it. I mean, he had already thought in his mind, I'm going to come after this guy. But you mean there's some benefits to this? And he says, What did you say will be done? And they say to him again, you're going to have riches and you're going to get to marry his daughter. Which one? No, I don't know if he said that. Okay. Yeah. I think I'd ask which one. So, I don't know if I could walk in faith on that one. No, we can. Now, what David does is he remembers the benefits of faith and courage as he thinks those, and then what he does is he focuses direction and trust on the Lord. And we've been talking about this through this series. We've got to get our eyes off the situation. Got to get our eyes off of what we're going through. You know, and you see this all the time. You see this you can see it in my life when I walk in worry. You know, that I'm just kind of gazed off somewhere else, you know, and I'm thinking about it. What am I thinking about? I'm thinking about what I got to do next, and I'm worrying if I'm going to be able to get it done or not. And what have I just done? I've missed out on the moment with the flock, or the moment with my wife, or the moment with my children. I've missed out on the victory of God in that moment. But not David. David's looking straight ahead, and he's got a vision in his life. You know what that vision is? Goliath, you're going down today, and I'm going to face you. I'm going to face you off. And so what he does is he focuses his direction and his trust on the Lord. And I want you to notice what it says. When the words, verse 31, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, watch this, folks, verse 32, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Don't quit fearing over that guy over there. Yeah, he's a Goliath in your eyes, but guess what? We got a greater Goliath here, and it's our great God. Not the little shepherd boy, but the great God. The great God that he is. You quit looking at him. You quit looking at that situation. You quit looking at that circumstance. Folks, quit looking at your failures and think you're going to keep failing again. Quit looking at those things. It's the wrong vision. It's the wrong kind of thinking. You look at what God says he comes to do. Let no man's heart fail on account of him. And Saul said to David, now watch this. Here's the word that Saul says. You can't go out there against that Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. You're but a little squat. You can't do that. And he's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep, and a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went out after him. I attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Now, I want to stop here for a sec, because you know what? As David is so concerned about the reputation of his God, as a boy, he's concerned about the reputation of family business. Did you know that? I mean, he could have looked at that bear, that little lamb, and said, well, that's just one more lamb. No, what he does, he goes after it. He goes after that lamb to take it out of the jaws of the lion and the jaws of the bear. I mean, he's learned to look out for the reputation. He's concerned about what's going on in God's kingdom, and he's learned that by being concerned what's going on in his father's household. And that's where he's learned this. He's learned it in the sheepfolds. And so what we do, folks, is we remember of what God has done to us and for us. We're reminded of past deliverances. And that's what he says. I've been delivered before. It's been a lion and it's been a bear. It hasn't been a giant, but I know that bear could have killed me. That lion could have killed me. But the verse 37, but the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You know what Saul says? Go after him. Better you than me, right? Go on and do it. Go on and try. So Scripture says that Saul took his garments and his armor and he put them on David. And David started walking around, couldn't move because Saul was a big man, head and shoulders over the rest of the congregation, folks. Beautiful man in appearance. The guy that should be going out there gives it to a shepherd boy who plays the harp for him every now and then when the demon has seized him. And there goes that shepherd boy in the king's costume. And you know what? David says, I can't go out with these. I've not tried them. I can't test them. I can't move in them. And so the Scripture takes them off. And I want to suggest to you folks, and when you're walking, when you're faced with fear, the temptation of fear, you know what you need? You need to be renewed by God's strength, not by the strength of any man and not by the strength of any man's ways. Sometimes we put on the wrong armor. We put on psychology, we put on self-help stuff, and we miss the power of the living God. And that's what he did. Instead of being strengthened with God, what we do is we're going to put on the armor so we'll be protected. And God says, listen, I don't work that way. I don't work that way the way you see, the way you think. And so he says, I can't do this. And so the Scripture says in verse 40 that he takes his stick in his hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now, I've shared this before, telling this story. I just want to remind you that 5 stones is not an act of unbelief, because Goliath has 4 brothers. Okay? He has 4 brothers. So not only is he ready for Goliath, he's ready for the revenge of the 4 brothers. 5 smooth stones. 1 for each. I'll just need 1 for that one. One shot. That's all God. You know what? One shot is all you need. One shot of faith goes a long, long way. So he puts this in his patch, on his pouch, and then what he does, he'll do it. He'll be renewed by God's strength. He's walking in this faith. He's going to approach and address the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in the name of the Lord, for the glory of God. Notice what it says. Verse 41. Philistine came on and approached David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with handsome appearance. Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine also said to David, come to me and I'll give you your flesh. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky, the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. Ha, ha, ha. But I come to you in the name of our God. I come to you in the name of our God. My God does not deliver by spear. He delivers by His great hand. And I'm coming to you in that. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day, here's the vision. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I will strike you down. I will remove your head. Now I want to ask you folks, if you remove the head of worry and fear, can worry and fear rear its ugly head against you? Not without a head. I'm going to finish you off today, worry. I'm going to finish you off by the power of God, lust. I'm going to cut your head off. Greed, unforgiveness, and bitterness. I'm going to come and I'm going to cut your head off, because if your head's off, you'll never rear up your ugly head against me, because it's a skull somewhere on a battlefield. I will no longer walk in agreement with this. I will no longer walk in the fear of this. I'm going to give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts. He said, you know, God, you think you're going to give me to the birds? I'm not only going to give you to the birds, I'm going to give the whole army to the birds. That's what I'm going to do. That's because of the great God. And then he says in verse 47, that because of the great God that I serve, that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took from it a stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on his forehead. And this stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine, killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand, so he ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled in dread. Folks, you watch the enemy fall, and then you finish him off. You finish him off. Now here's the point. We serve a great God that's bigger than whatever's causing you to fear and worry. Did you hear that? We serve a great God who's bigger than whatever is causing you to walk in fear and worry. What is the fear in your life today? What is the worry that just consumes you? Is it finances? Is it what God might do if you say yes to Him? What is the fear? Is it fear of losing your children? Is it getting sick and dying? What is it? I tell you, we have a God who's bigger, that through your life today and through your faith today will meet the giant head on, take the stone out of your pouch and sling it, and then finish him off. That's the power of our great God. The first prophecy of Jesus was that he would come and crush the head of the enemy, so the enemy could no longer raise his ugly head. You know, there's some of us in here today that we walk in worry and fear because of where our marriages are. And I want to tell you, God wants to give you a new vision. He does. He wants to give you a new vision. It's a vision of reconciliation. You know, folks, God can take any kind of hate out of your heart, any kind of bitterness, even toward God today. And you can see the victory of Christ. And you'll watch the worry and the fear. I mean, you'll watch it just diminish before your eyes. Are you directing your thoughts toward Him today? Or do you have your eyes on the situation? Have you addressed the situation in your life by the authority of the Lord in your life with a great faith that says, I will be delivered? Matter of fact, I'll be part of the deliverance because of who God is in my life. I want to ask you today to truly lay down the worry. The consequences are great, and the benefits are wonderful. Would you believe that today? Would you believe it for your life? Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the power of the cross in our lives. We thank you that you're a God that says, it's going to be all right, son. It's going to be all right, daughter, because I'm here. I'm here. Oh, Father, may we face the Goliaths of our day and our time with just your power and your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929. or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just a